yearning to play a few rounds of Gwent. That ought to set me straight.
Welcome to Commander's Horn, a podcast about Gwent. Great to have you on our pilot, Episode 1. On today's show, we'll be covering the latest news out of PAX West, where the Gwent team had a panel. Lots of info on single player, premium cards, and fan Q&A. We also have a few new cards, so we'll do some analysis and a little speculation. 7 weeks until the beta, boys. Thanks so much for joining me. Folks, thanks again. Just off the top, I want to talk about a few of the great resources that are available for Gwent. So if you ever wanted to reference this podcast, you know that it is right here at the beginning. And a lot of these sites, while I'm not affiliated with them, I do use them for frequent reference points to make sure that my facts are correct and for news. First resource, GwentDB. This is a Curse website. You may be familiar with Curse websites if you're fans of Blizzard games in particular. I'm expecting this site to be definitely a go-to site. So far, it has been. They've been making a lot of updates. At the time of this writing, they have not updated anything from PAX West yet, but I do understand that these sites, and really all sites, we're really just gearing up. We're getting ready. The info is coming in, and we're just making sure that we're there when it all comes together. The other site I like to use is Gwentify. Gwentify is managed by Evident, and you may be familiar with his work from Hearthstone Top Decks, which is one of the best websites, I would say, for deck building, deck review, just generally a nice aesthetic to the website. So if you're familiar with that quality, you'll be happy to have this site as well. Both of these sites allow you to reference cards and build decks. Fun for theorycraft, if that's your thing, but also just kind of review everything we know for sure. If video is your thing, YouTube is a great resource in general. Two people that I have been watching have been King Blacktoof, that's with an F, T-O-O-F, and Shifu of the Cards. Although I know that there are others out there making Gwent content, the community is a little on the smaller side, which I don't mind at all. So King Blacktooth has been posting frequent content, including, but not limited to, commentary on 6 different show matches played with the latest build of Gwent, which was toured around Gamescom. And also, as of today, he started a tutorial series on how to play Gwent. So I can only highly recommend checking that video out. He nails it. He nails this video. So definitely check it out. You'll get the basics, even if you've never played The Witcher 3 in your life. Shifu of the Cards have been posting some interesting deck-building theories based on what we already know. So his videos contain that kind of content. If writing is your thing, the site aroundofgwent.com, the writer calls himself Hjalmar, he's been posting some great strategy articles and card reviews. Again, based on the information we know, I think that there is a general understanding from content that we're getting ready. We are getting ready for the game. But thankfully, there is still stuff to talk about. If audio is your thing, you have me. Commander's Horn first episode is playing into your ears currently. And I'm very thankful for that. I will be doing this weekly, though they may not all be packed with news. Weekly is the idea. Weekly is generally the expectation when this game comes out. I think I'm excited enough to talk about this game for hours, even without news. But we'll see. News will be nice. But I'm happy to talk strategy. I'm happy to talk reviews of the cards that we know. I think that there's a lot of material there. And I know the closer we get to October 25th, just the more there will be to talk about. But speaking about this podcast specifically, I was told that I should just do this podcast. This is my first podcast. And I was told to get out there, you know, don't worry about it too much. Start. Refine in the future. But start. Because it's just something that I've always really wanted to do. I've always loved game journalism for a very long time. I've been a long time Magic the Gathering player, long time poker player, long time Hearthstone player, long time video game player in general. So the idea of video game journalism for me is something that I can do. It's thrilling. It really is. At the moment, this is a one-man show, but I am taking strides to find another host because there is just no substitution for banter. Honest banter, especially in a strategy game. So I do make some assumptions about the listeners' knowledge based on what they know about Gwent, what they know about The Witcher 3, but I will still intend to make this as accessible as possible. Generally, though, from here on, whenever I say old Gwent, I am referring to The Witcher 3. And whenever I say Gwent or new Gwent, I'm talking about Gwent, the new Witcher card game. Beyond that housekeeping, let's dive into the news. Gamescom and PAX West are two major events that are behind us in which the Gwent team was present. Some more present than others, some more information than others. But I like the PAX West panel because it gave us a lot of information kind of as a catch-up as to where we are with Gwent, which is part of which this podcast tries to serve as well. So the panel itself was made up of principal narrative designer Mateusz Tomaszkiewicz and a translator, Travis Curate, and finally community manager Christine Steimer, and was hosted by Maud Garrett from Geekbomb. All in all, I thought the panel was very good. They made great use of their time. It really was just summarizing why the game Gwent is coming together the way it is. A lot of it has to do with high demand. The audience was asked to raise their hand if they had spent X amount of time in The Witcher, and as you can probably imagine, there were some people upwards of 200 hours bowing, and many of these people played Gwent as well. So ultimately, what they were trying to get across is they wanted to balance and redefine and reimagine the competitive multiplayer of Gwent, offering new abilities to most of the cards, generally just give a much richer experience, something that could be really had legs in a competitive multiplayer space. And I like that. I do like that. They talked about the closed beta. We do know already that the closed beta will begin on October 25th, and it will be available for Xbox and PC only on that day, PS4 to come at a later date. Now, as a PS4 owner, I have had questions about this. There is a bleak answer, but it's not so bad. The good news is there will be crossplay between Xbox 360 and PC, which is always nice. The bad news is the PlayStation port remains to be seen. And I know that it's difficult. It's more difficult for Sony to come on board with this kind of stuff. I'm not going to really speculate why there would be a problem, but I will say that this is not the first time I'm ever hearing of something like this. So they made some promises. They made some con promises. So grain of salt, all that. New modes in development. There is a new faction in development, which is the Nilfgaardian Empire. There are single-player campaigns in development, which will not be available for the beta, but they will be 12 hours per campaign each, and there's going to be multiple campaigns, and it's going to be Witcher style. There's going to be choices and consequence. There's going to be a narrative story, a world map to explore. Cutscenes will be done in the same style as the Witcher 3 recaps when you load your saved game or travel from continent to continent, what Geralt's up to, has he found Ciri yet, all that stuff, that kind of style right there. And we know we're getting Doug Cockle to be the voice of Geralt, who, at the very least, will be helping us through the Gwent tutorial. So just, you know, in your imagination, the game is starting to be a bit more complete. They really care about storytelling, and I love that. And the more I say I'm into this for the multiplayer, I want to play my cards. 10 hours of single player, I don't know if I'm going to like that as much, but I just need to remember that CD Projekt Red produces quality single player content, and it is excellent that we are getting this, that we are actually getting support for this type of game. It's going to really be ours. Another thing they like to show is card interactions. Certain cards will say certain things when other cards are on the table. Premium cards and premium art. I'll put the links you'll need for this show into the show notes or into the description of this upload, so you can just quickly go check out the panel for yourself. But the artwork that they're doing for this game, it's something else. I'm a longtime Hearthstone player. If you are as well, you are aware of a golden card. If you've played Magic, you've heard of a foil card. You know, special cards that have a bit more glitz and flair and animation in some cases. For Gwent, these are full 3D models that you can pan around when you're looking at it. When you're looking at them, they move. Some of them, the entire creature moves. In the case of the Harpy card that we saw, the Harpy is perched upon the top of what appears to be a church, and he's taken off and he's landed and he's squawking at you and he's looking around. And it's not really, you know, it's not layers of subtle animation and glitz to these. These are really cool to look at and will be really cool to own. And I'm definitely interested in understanding how I might procure some of these premium cards, perhaps for some of my favorite cards. So there is that as well. Finally, mobile. There's really just no plans for mobile, as they said in the panel. That's fine. Take your time. Get this out. Get this going. Mobile will come. The final piece of this presentation was the fan Q&A. So the Q&A, these are very much on-the-spot answers. And just some background on me, I come out of the advertising industry, and we had to give a lot of presentations to people and answer a lot of questions on the spot. Sometimes you do a little hedging, you give an answer that's appealing to everybody, that doesn't commit you to anything, but still offers a level of comfort to the person asking questions. So I think that that's where we were. I don't know if these questions were screened or not, but I think that everything was answered in a pretty fair way. So the first question, of course, mobile, not yet. Some of the favorite mechanics that the team likes. Will there be language support in language like Polish, Japan, French? Yes, there will be. Will we be trading cards on losses? No, we will not be. How will we be opening up booster packs? This is kind of interesting. You get a booster pack or a card pack, whatever you like to call it. You're shown three cards, and each of these three cards can be rare or better. So you pick one, and then you get the remaining four cards to complete your five-card booster. And those four cards can be any rarity as well. So the idea is, if you're looking for a specific card, maybe, to round your deck out, and you open the pack, it's as if you have two additional chances to get that card, which I really appreciate. And then there were a number of answers where the general response of, we're still thinking about it, there's going to be an update soon. And that's fair. And it's hard to expect that all the best info of the panel is just waiting to be asked by one of the fans. Believe me, if they had blockbuster information, they would be sharing it. But questions about monetization of the game, no answers right now. Different game modes, no answers right now. Physical copies of the game, there won't be. Are there any rules about deck building? Aside from the new rules of four heroes, six characters, and the remaining troops, those are really the only differences when it comes to building your deck. There is an in-game deck builder, which will prove to be very useful. Is there going to be matchmaking based on skill level? No answer right now. Are we going to have a limited number of deck slots? No, we're not. Infinite deck slots. Hearthstone fans rejoice. Will there be single player only cards that can be used in single player only? So I understood this question as being, are there super powerful cards that we'll need to defeat powerful bosses in Gwent that wouldn't necessarily be balanced for multiplayer? And they said yes, and I believe that's what they meant. And what will the tutorial entail? So it seems like it'll be a short story featuring Geralt. He'll teach you the basics and try to be as unboring as possible, which is hard to do in a tutorial, but I have faith, and that's something that I'm looking forward to playing myself. The Gwent team has been influenced by other card games, such as Hearthstone, but they wanted to make it clear that these are their own ideas, and it should not be overshadowed. And the reason why I completely agree with him is that this is a very different type of card game. When you look at it against a game like Hearthstone, like Magic the Gathering, there is no resource collection. There is no cost to play cards. You get to play one at a time. You are bluffing. There are a limited amount of resources in the cards that you are given. You do not draw cards at the beginning of each round or each turn. You have 10 cards and that's what you have. And you need to decide what cards are you going to spend on rounds 1, 2, and 3 to ensure that you win 2 of those 3 rounds. And there's just not another game out there like that. It appeals to me as a card game player, and it is refreshing. And I really hope others will see that in this way, because there's a lot of cool mechanics in there that really cater to this type of gameplay. But it's definitely different. No traditional minion-based combat, no hero health totals, just the strength of your army as you build it. I really like that, personally. So we did hear some things about in-game currency and some questions about monetization, and I know that these are going to be hot topics as we get into the structure of Gwent and what we'll understand. I just want to have just a word of caution to the public. I'm reminded by the first quest you get in The Witcher 3, Hearts of Stone. It's called Evil's Soft First Touches. When I see community members start to get frustrated, up in arms, very, very concerned, thinking that there are precedents being set about the money in this game when we just don't know these details, please just approach this with the idea that we cannot have everything, especially not at launch, and that CD Projekt Red is making this game, and they have previously made The Witcher, Game of the Year. So let's not get too worried about the money that we might be spending on a game that wasn't free to make. So there's a lot of sides you can take on it. I just want everybody to be careful about the speculation and spreading that miasma when there just isn't details there for anybody to hang on and actually have a rational conversation. That's really all. Lastly, but not leastly, we did get to see some new cards, so let's go into the next section and talk a little strategy. All right, new cards. I was hoping for a few more, but I think anything that comes in is intriguing to look at. So we got some new cards. The first card that they showed was a premium version of the Arrakis Behemoth. The Arrakis Behemoth is a 6 strength siege unit, loyal. And when you play it, its effect copies all Arrakis's on the row except for copies. So this isn't a muster ability. It's not mustering any Arrakis cards out of your deck. It is copying the Arrakis cards that are already in your row, but it won't copy Arrakis's that had already been copied. So there are questions here. Mainly, we do not know what the Arrakis looks like in New Gwent. From Old Gwent, they were 4 strength melee creatures that mustered all other versions of themselves onto its row, but these were melee. And the Arrakis Behemoth is siege. So I can assume that Arrakises will be moving up to the siege level. There could be more than one kind of Arrakis group or other properties to them, because so many Gwent cards are so very different from their old Gwent counterpart. So we can't really take this for much, knowing, just having the old Gwent knowledge of how the Arrakis work, but it's a card that copies other cards, and we know that that's a strong card. Monsters have a hero, Caranthir, and he can do the same thing. It is a strong effect, and the Arrakis Behemoth is stronger than Caranthir, in a way. So we really don't know how it's going to work, and especially not sure how it will work if you medic your Arrakis Behemoth and there are already copies on the siege row, not copies that he copied, but that the medic copied. And just some general interaction on how the copies work. and if there's any other limitations of those copies. So we'll have to see. The second card that was revealed was very similar to the first card, the Saliano Harpy, which is a 6-strength ranged unit, loyal. When you place it on the board, it does do the same thing as the Arrakis Behemoth, only it summons Harpies. So Harpies, again, we can only assume that the Harpies will be a lower to medium strength unit that you will be able to fill your deck with, and the Harpy will be able to just make your row that much more populated. And the Harpies and the Arrakis, I wouldn't be surprised if they muster themselves. It seemed to be a very strong theme in Old Gwent's monster deck. Not saying that Old Deck Monsters was a good deck to have, but they did do it. So if they wanted to keep the flavor, they would probably have the units muster themselves and then have these big bosses do some extra buffing and copying. So I like that. I think we just need to see it in action. They went through on the premium cards, so they showed a couple more cards. If you're watching the panel for the first time and you're not aware, they have the Giant Toad. Another monsters only card is 8-strength ranged unit that doubles its strength in the rain. So this card hasn't changed. This card's been around for a while. The fact that it hasn't changed is good because you can imagine that there's more rain dynamics coming our way. There haven't really been a lot of rain units shown, so Giant Toad kind of takes that right now. Following up, they showed the Fiend,
a 12-strength melee unit, loyal, character card for monsters. So this is a vanilla brute unit, very similar to Trollolo from Northern Realms, which is also a 12-strength melee unit character. So these don't have any associated skills to them. They're just big, beefy troops, but they are buffable. And I don't mean to say they're troops, they are characters, but they are buffable. So they're buffable by Commander's Horn through morale boost, and most specifically the Alchemist ability known as Inspire Fresh Recruits. This becomes a 24-strength unit with an Alchemist on the board. Just going later into this panel, there was a second troop shown that had the Alchemist ability. So is it worth it to put a card like this into your deck? It has its pros. A 12-strength unit can protect against Scorch. It is a character, so it can be buffed, being the strongest. It does have the Alchemist synergy, but it does take a character slot. So you're likely building your deck around working with this card if you put it in your deck. I think the Scorch protection is strong. I think when it comes to vanilla units with high strength, or even the hero units with high strength, we're going to see some very interesting reactive play from our opponents if they can or cannot remove them. But as it stands, you can get a lot of power out of this card, and it may be something that could be playable. Moving on, we have Eskel, the last of our three Witchers. Eskel, much like his Witcher counterparts, is 8-strength, a melee unit, loyal, character card, and on effect, spawn all Witchers from deck and hand. And those Witchers are Lambert and Vesemir, who also have 8 strength on the melee row. So when you play any of these Witchers, your board will then have 24 strength on the board. So 24 strength in one card, but they are all character cards. So really, 3 of your character slots are taken. So building a deck around making sure these Witchers can do the work that they do is likely going to be the strategy, and cards like the Fiend or Trollolo, if they're on the field first, then the Witchers are essentially Scorch-proof. So there is a little bit of a samey feeling coming out of the Witchers. Look at the two from this event. We have the Arrakis and the Harpy, and they're the same card for different rows. And we have the Witchers that pull out their two other Witchers that are 8 strength, and on the monster side, we have the Crones, who are 8-strength characters that pull out the other two 8-strength characters on the Siege row. So there's a bit of sameness happening with some of these effects, and they've already added so many more effects. So it leads me to believe that there are some effects still in development, or this is just kind of the standard themes that we'll be seeing in this first initial release of Gwent cards. I'm just hoping there's a little less homogenization. I want to feel strong differences between classes, strong differences between cards played, and my choices to build my deck should be much, much different. So they seem to be fine creating 20 or 30 different when played types of effects, different rules for musters, different rules for morale boosts, different rules for spawning characters. There will be a burden of knowledge for the new player if they continue to do this. I did a little looking. I didn't see anything about Witcher cards pulling Geralt. I would imagine just not. I don't really think that that's what how the card is designed. But one could look at Geralt and know that he's a Witcher and wonder why he's not being pulled. I just don't think that Geralt is classified as a Witcher, even though he is the Witcher. The question is valid. Next up, Ithleen, a 4-strength ranged minion who is disloyal. So this is an example of a disloyal card. It reads, draw a random special card from your deck into your hand. A lot of games call this a cantrip, in that you play a card and then you get a card, so it replaces itself. In this case, you play a card for your opponent, but the spirit is the same. It's generally good to complete a turn and still have the same amount of cards in hand to maintain positive card advantage. Normally important in card games, but specifically important in Gwent, where drawing cards is rare. It's another way to stall the game, essentially, in this particular case. I like this card. I think giving 4 strength to your opponent is a relatively low risk, relative to some other spies, that is, like Dijkstra and Thaler, both giving 8 strength to your opponent. You stall a turn, and you draw a card you likely teched into your deck for a purpose. Special cards are usually very good, especially when you need them. So I think this card is going to be in some decks. So the next card we have is Sheela, and now we're talking about the more speculative cards. We were given the card art to look at with a symbol that we would recognize, but nothing was clear. So what we saw was that Sheela is an 8-strength swap minion, which means that she can be placed on different rows. She is a character card. She may be disloyal, but she may not be. But the idea is, even though there's not much known about this card, we have to make some assumptions. So this, she has the same ability as the Alchemist, which is called Inspire Fresh Recruits. Fresh Recruits, again, doubles the strength of any vanilla units on its row. And I'm assuming this effect is active only as long as the Alchemist is active, unless there is an alchemy glyph that spawns, much like the Mushroom's glyph or the Commander's Horn glyph. But we'll see. We'll see about that. Priscilla and Dandelion, they spawn their glyph, and if they leave the battlefield, the glyph remains. So that's why I feel like this question can be asked. It's interesting. The Alchemist is also a swap card. The main difference could be that simply she is an 8-strength unit and a character card, but this is Gwent, and there's a lot of different abilities that seem to be the same, but it is the same icon. I would like to see how an Alchemist deck would come together with Sheela, how Sheela would help that deck, if you would need her as a 4th Alchemist ability, knowing that you can only add one of her as she's a character, and you can have 3 Alchemists as well, and just how that deck combats Scorch, because I think that there's fun, there's big numbers in that deck, and I think that if you play around the right cards, it'll be pretty good. But moving on, Leo Bonhart. This card looks pretty cool. This is a 6-strength melee character, loyalty indetermined, with the skill of Epidemic. And Epidemic is a special card already in the game that works in an opposite way from Scorch, in that it looks for all the weakest units on the field, yours and your opponent's, and destroys them. The inverse being Scorch looking for the strongest units on each player's board and destroying them. In this case, in an Epidemic case, if I had a bunch of one strength troops and my opponent had a number of 1-strength troops as well, and an Epidemic comes down, we are both going to lose those if they are the weakest character. So I think the easiest thing to assume is this is a 6-strength character that plays Epidemic. So this card would be good to stop a horde of weenies before they get buffed or protected from the bottom, a tactic that you might use against monster decks. His loyalty is unknown. I don't think it's safe to assume either way. I think it's fair to assume that he is loyal. So there, it remains to be seen. Now, the final card was Coral. Now, this is an interesting one. Coral is an 8-strength siege unit with questionable loyalty. The reason why it's interesting is that there already is a Coral card. This might be updated art, but the icon for its ability is different. So I'm not sure if this is a revised look at the card or if there are two Corals, much like two Geralt cards, the two Zoltan cards, and the two Triss cards. The current version of Coral, she's a Skellige hero with 8 strength on the siege row, and she is loyal. She takes any non-hero unit or spell from the graveyard and plays it instantly. And this is different from other medic cards like Field Medic or Nineki, who can only pull units but not spells. So her being able to pull the spell out of the graveyard is what makes her unique. This new Coral has new art, but also has a different icon. The icon now looks like the same icon that's used for Bloody Baron, Saskia, Triss, Mistress of Magic specifically, or Zoltan Animal Trader. And that icon are the two cards. One has a check mark on it and one has an X. And that is not the icon that appears on the original Coral. Now, since all of these different icons with an X and with a check mark do completely different things, this new Coral could do literally anything. Drawing a unit or a spell is a choice to make. So if we're going by what the original Coral that we know does, it could just be a reimagining of how her icon is represented. So they could be the same card. There's just too many variables at the moment to analyze any further. There's not a lot more you can say about a card with such little information, except that the art is good and it's good to see updates. So that'll do for the topic of the show, strategy section, whatever you want to call it. We just wanted to do a little bit of card analysis and give you an update on what was on the show. But now let's move into some feedback, or at least some information on how you can get some feedback my way. In time, this podcast will have a section for feedback, which is exciting for me and also for you because it gives you a chance to be a part of the show. It's a good opportunity. For now, I can only reach out and bare my soul and make this podcast and ask for feedback. Should you have any feedback, please send your emails to commandershornpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter @commandershorn. I would love to hear from you, criticism included. I only want to give my best to the community, and there's always room for improvement. My profuse thanks to all of you for listening. This is Dane. Best of luck on the path.